What's up, everyone? This is Press X Star Podcast, Season 3, Episode 18. We are here.
Blueface, okay. Baby.
To bring you the latest.
Bust down, Tatiana.
In hip hop music, video games, news, reviews, impressions, and all things surrounding all the things I just said. From a minority perspective, the best perspective. Today on the cast, we are joined by.
Blueface, baby.
Okay, Blueface, what's your actual name?
Cameron.
Okay, what's your AKA?
AKA the Salt in the Segway. The Salt in the Segways has returned, has made his return. So get ready for all the fire segways.
Oh,
worse. Speaking of which.
So excited.
DJ, how are you today?
I'm good.
Okay.
I am your host, extraordinaire, DJ, AKA. Did you know?
Yes.
That sex burns 360 calories per hour.
You can't pause between burns. 360.
In case you're wondering and doing the math, that's about 30 calories.
What?
If you're clocking in at 5 minutes.
How many average strokes is that? Some niggas ain't burning all them calories, bro.
Bro, I was really thinking 300 calories per hour. I was like, God damn.
A whole hour?
So we're about to last 30 minutes.
Some niggas out here burning half a calorie, bro.
How much is it for 30 minutes?
I am Sean Ross. Sean MF Ross.
Yeah, what MF stand for?
Medical fingers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that. And then,
last off. And returning is JX Spot.
Okay.
With
okay.
With the Xbox perspective.
Trump would say you have low energy.
Right.
Yeah. He can if he wants to.
Low energy Jordan Berry.
And with that, we are going to just jump right into.
Yes.
How many calories we burn at having sex?
I'm a Christian man, all right? Right.
I don't think my Lord and Savior would love me talking about those things.
Speaking of Lord and Savior, what you been playing, Cam?
Hey, playing with... been playing Persona 5 and okay. Dauntless.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So I've never actually beat Persona. So what happened was when we got it and we were in the cast, it was me, you, and Avery, and Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing it, and then at the point where I was progressing, I felt like I hit a wall, and Avery was like, yeah, because you were doing everything wrong, which she is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And then now I'm playing it with the actual guide.
Everything makes sense now?
Everything makes sense, because originally when I was playing, I was waiting for certain prompts in the game to let me know that I can do certain things,
mm-hmm.
and the guides let you know immediately, like, hey, after this first day, you can go to the library. You don't have to wait until game tells you to go to the library.
Yeah.
You shouldn't need...
And I didn't want to use the guide because I was like, oh, I don't want it to spoil. But then I'm also at the center. Like, it doesn't really spoil it for you. It just kind of tells you, like...
Depending on which guide you find.
Yeah. The dungeons in that game are not forgiving. And I forgot, like...
Really?
They are... Oh, my God. And because you don't get a lot of healing materials, it feels like the healing spells... It just feels like you're always running out of, like, mana.
Yeah.
And
you're one of them people.
And it's just like, and the enemies are hard, bro. But you're also trying to level up. So you're trying to fight every enemy because you can dodge them. But you're trying to level up. And so I'm fighting every enemy. And then the guy recommends that you get to a certain point in the dungeon before you like leave.
Yeah.
And so like that can be 2 hours of like grinding. Like.
That's why I have a hard time playing RPGs.
But it's fun though. Like I think what helps it as a turn-based game is the aura flash and substance
story.
Yeah, but Persona 5 came out like 2 years ago, so there's no need to review that. So Anthem has went radio silence. Like they don't even talk on any of their social media channels.
Yeah.
The Reddit is literally full of people saying, "Wow,
what's going on?
This game still exists." Literally, the Reddit is literally. Has anyone heard anything? Or they're saying, what's the point of a community manager if you never going to talk to the community? So then DJ was like, hey, you should try Dauntless. And I was
Wait. Before we jump onto that.
Yeah.
I was watching a video about Anthem yesterday. It was not good news. And I want to share some of the facts that they had put out there. Apparently.
No.
There is 113 period people watching that game on Twitch.
Amazing.
That's it.
How many people are actually playing it?
113
period. It's just two people playing it, and everyone's just watching the two people. Yeah, like, yeah, that game has really fallen off.
What are they watching at this point? Because
like, it's just content, really.
Content. They're, yeah. they're probably just watching a person for their personality.
Yeah, like a, yeah.
I ain't gonna make it.
Which pisses me off because that game had the potential. Because at one point, DJ and I tried to hop back into the division, and I was just like,
yeah.
That game. I think for me, what killed the division was the end game
mm-hmm.
because like you had put in all this work to like liberate the entire like map, and then it was just like one cutscene. The entire map needs to be liberated all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they had like that little tidal basin portion to it. I think they added something else beyond the raid. Also,
yeah.
is there another portion they've yeah. expanded
the thing
it to?
Is with the tidal basin thing. That was new content that you had to actually work up to.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a 500 power zone.
Yeah. Like and it's just like, I don't, the end game for Division 2
yeah.
was not, it was, I don't think it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Or, like, if I got super bored and went back to it without playing the whole thing over again, maybe, but that's from like, what, 5 months? 6 months, I'm gonna have yeah. that energy to go back to that game. I'm sorry, Ken.
No, yeah. dude. You're, I mean, you're hitting on a lot of points. And the reason why I don't want to play The Division is because of the things I like about Anthem. So, for example...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, yeah, I'm going to explain. Yeah. So, you know how everybody originally hated like how in Anthem you couldn't change like your weapons or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so, what I hate about The Division is I have to spend so much time in the menus because yeah. I had to do tons of inventory management, whereas in Anthem, you're forced to just focus on the gameplay.
Right.
And then the other part about like just a general gameplay loop about... Anthem is just it's just so different. And so the other thing that I like about the Anthem does well is matchmaking. And so I'm thinking about the raid, I'm thinking about like how this is a big opportunity to like be a part of Division's content in a meaningful way that makes me want to do the grind
yeah.
to get up to the level. And they're like 8-person raid, however no matchmaking.
Yeah.
And so in order to find a party, I have to go through Reddit and like ask people and all that. And I was just like,
you know what,
I had the one person I want to mm-hmm. play with yeah. DJ, because he's the only other person playing Anthem with
Xbox me. Had a quasi remedy for that in yeah. terms of like their clubs and like community. Like Xbox had invested heavily in like being able to link up with people playing a game than PlayStation did. Like it's hard to explain, but they have like clubs and stuff you can join and sync up with people like that. But yes, having to go outside and organize people like that is very counterintuitive and it's stupid. We should not have to network with other people's schedules
yeah.
to play something like that.
After Division 2 released their raid, and I was like, ah, and they said, oh, it's no matchmaking. I was like, all right, I deleted Division 2 off my console.
Mm.
I'm not. There's at this point, I've played that game. Mm-hmm. I've seen what that game has to offer. It's a good game, but it doesn't have anything. There's no reason for it to be on my console anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if nice. I go back to it, whatever, I'll just spend the 20 minutes and download it or whatever. But like as it is right now, I got better games to play.
Yeah.
Like
Dauntless.
There you go.
I was about to say like Anthem. Are you still playing Anthem, DJ?
By the way, I'm waiting.
Okay.
But
you're waiting.
Anthem is still on my console.
Like, it's the one thing. Like,
what's the story of that woman that stares into the ocean, waiting for their sailor to come back? That's what you're doing with Anthem.
Yes,
I am.
It's like, worth it though.
Yeah. But like yeah. a Category 5 store most likely took that.
No. Yeah. It's more so. Just calm water. Nothing
happened. It gave you the best month of your life.
Right? As piece of the ship slowly starts accumulating.
But Dauntless.
He's not coming back.
Yeah. The only last thing about Division is like when I watched Kind of Funny's talk about the raid, it's the one thing I really did not like Andre Renee's comment about, where she was just like,
"Yo, she really
made me upset about." Her main premise was like, "There should be no matchmaking because like." Yeah. Of the way the game set up,
because it can ruin my experience of the raid, because she clearly is going to be matchmaking into raid content. No, she has a community, she has people that she can raid with, so it's not anything.
Who was this? I'm sorry.
Andrea Renee from
Kind of Funny.
They were talking about matchmaking. Oh, yeah,
when you're a personality, it's not hard to get people to play with you.
Yeah, you exactly, literally just throw something on Twitter and say, hey, who wants to play?
Yo, here's my gamer tag.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, no shade to her, but like she's just speaking from one perspective.
Yeah.
That's that problem.
Yeah.
But Dauntless.
Anyway, so then Dauntless, I saw DJ throw this in the Slack chat, and I was like, I am not falling for another Monster Hunter game. I liked Monster Hunter until the point where the mechanics of Monster Hunter made it impossible for me to like it.
Yep.
And I was just like, I do not want to do this. And I was like, let me look at a YouTube video. And I saw a YouTube video, and I sent it to the chat. And I was like, all right, I might do this. And then DJ was like, I can't even get into the game. So I was like, oh, okay. I'll just keep playing Persona. And then, what was it? This Thursday, we finally got into the game. And I was just like, I can do this.
Yep.
I might be able to do this. Yep. So it's fun. I got into level 5. I use primarily the guns.
Nigga.
Because it... When I think of a long range weapon for games like this, this is the guns are the weapons that I want, and it was the one thing I wanted from Monster Hunter.
Yeah,
because I didn't like the none of the bows, and the ammo mechanic was too complicated for me.
Yeah, you want to go back to your roots, your African roots?
That'd be in 2 weeks. But I enjoyed it. I think the issue was we couldn't even get into a match together.
Yeah, so that is an issue that I haven't figured out what's going on. So with Dauntless, it is on the Epic Store. So
We should talk about that Epic Store at a later time.
Yeah. But so when you first get onto Dauntless, it tells you, hey, do you want to sign into your Epic account before you start, or do you want to use you want to be a new player, a new customer, whatever? And I was like, I don't know what my Epic stuff
is. I don't have one.
Yeah. Like I have one from Fortnite. And I was just like, yeah, whatever, I'll do a new account. So I did the new account. And now that I'm in the game, I was trying to matchmake with Cam. It shows you have PlayStation friends or whatever, but there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
their store is weird because I did that with, Division or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just have to fix their stuff. It's just really weird.
Yeah. So, right as it is right now, I can matchmake with one person. And I think the reason why I can matchmake with that one person is because they did the Dauntless beta.
Mm.
I think that's why. And really and truly, I don't even remember who the person is. So yeah. I'm not going to ever contact the
same person. Here. I got the one person. I played one Destiny game with him.
Yeah.
And that was years ago. Yeah.
But that's probably one of the only downsides that I have for this game right now. Are you finished with your piece?
Yeah, no, okay. I am. Go ahead.
So,
go
ahead. As Cam said, I tried to get into Dauntless, couldn't get in at first because the servers were just literally jam-packed. Dauntless is the first, as they call it, cross-platform game.
Yeah.
So once you jump in, you could play with people who are on Xbox, if you're on PlayStation, and people who are on PC. And I think that's really cool. But my gut reaction was, God damn it, all these people are causing the servers to be overcrowded right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm here waiting 20 minutes. I'm not waiting no goddamn 20 minutes. I'll play World War Z. But when I finally got in, finally started playing, I immediately was overtaken by the aesthetics of the game.
Yeah.
Because it is everything that I wanted Fortnite to be, even though Fortnite was never going to be that, because Fortnite is a builder, whatever game.
They get black people hair right.
Oh, yes, they do. And I switched mine to the updo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, both Cam and I are playing as women because if you're going to be invested. Actually.
You got to kind of speak to your manager here, Cook?
No. It's a natural fro
mm-hmm.
and it's in a up ponytail.
Yeah.
Or,
well, I mean, I always opt to play as a
woman character. Right. And in this game, it really doesn't matter because at any point in time, you can change your character completely.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. They're very progressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
US can learn something from it.
They're just like, what does it matter? Change your what? So just do it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought you can change hair any point. I didn't know.
So playing the game, there are 6 or 7 weapons. There is the sword, axe,
chain blades,
which is, think God of War, Kratos,
hammer,
and guns, repeater. Oh, and then the war pike. So that's 6. I've pretty much gone through all of them just to kind of get a sense of how they all work and, just to figure out which ones I like the best. Right now, I'm currently switching in between the axe and the war pike. I started playing with the hammer for a little bit. Basically, they follow the same structure as Monster Hunter, whereas the sword is pretty much the basic weapon. Everyone uses that at first to get accustomed with the game, blah, blah, blah. and then you can move on to different weapons. In this game, they're saying that the hammer is the most advanced weapon mm-hmm. because it's not only a hammer, it's also a shotgun. And you have four bullets that are loaded into the hammer as you're playing or whatever. Very similar to Monster Hunter. The Warpike is similar to the...
The lance thing where you, not the lance, but the thing that
the insect glaive.
Yes,
insect glaive. There you go. That's yeah, it's similar to that in Monster Hunter, where in Dauntless you shoot like a sniper bullet out of it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, and yeah. So I'm kind of bouncing between the axe and the whatever that the war thing.
Warpike.
There we go. Jeez, I'm just losing all my words. Right now, I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I'm at level 10. When Cam and I had played the game, he was at level 5. I was just a little below him.
Trash.
And I just, you know, dedicated just a couple hours.
Couple days. My Friday evening. Like...
No, it was just one day. And I jumped to level 10. So I've been able to experience more of the game. Also, Cam, as we were talking through PSN, you do get like patrol missions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can just walk around.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. As it is right now, there. So they tell you how many animal or how many behemoths that you might find within that.
Oh, so like, there's level. More than one big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That feels better than just go in, hop in, kill, right. Hop out.
The only thing is that if you fight one. Mm-hmm. After you beat it, then you're automatically taken out of the patrol because like you completed your quote unquote hunt. So the idea is, I'm guessing you have a potential of seeing one, but like, okay, I'm not going to fight that one because I need to fight that one. I'll look for the other one.
Okay.
Yeah. So as it is right now, like I'm still gaining an overall impression of the game because I've only spent like 2 days on it. So there will definitely be more about that later on. But as it is right now, I am really considering buying the Battle Pass.
I'm not because I've been burned this year.
Yeah.
In games.
Yeah.
And then the games that have actually been good this year are games I have no interest in, like right. Resident Evil, Devil May Cry, and the games that I actually been interested in have been trash for me.
Yeah.
So you like bad things.
Apparently, man. Apparently.
All right. So, Sean?
Yeah, what about y'all niggas?
I've still been playing Days Gone. I'm actually a little addicted to this game now.
Oh, really?
Yo, like, yeah. So I watched two games I watch. Oh, yeah. I watched Days Gone. I watched my favorite YouTuber play it, and I watched them play A Plague's Tale of Innocence.
Why?
Plague's Tale is really quick. It's a good story game. Oh, okay. And so it has some slight stealth mechanics. I actually like it. Days Gone. How are you still playing that game? It looks like a chore.
It looks what?
It looks like a chore. Nothing about it looks good.
The gameplay loop gets good further in. Mm. It just takes a while to pick up.
Mm.
What don't you like about it that you've seen?
I don't like the shooting. I don't like the crafting mechanics. I don't like...
I don't like how it looks.
Yeah, I personally don't like how it looks.
You talking about the aesthetic or the graphics itself?
The aesthetics.
Okay, the graphics are fire.
No, the graphics are... It has
the crafting takes no time though. It's not like you gotta.
No, because it's like they have this crafting wheel, but then you can only craft a certain amount of stuff, and you can only carry a certain amount of stuff.
Well, you can upgrade to how much shit you can carry.
Okay.
And like how far did he get as far as gun wise?
He had the little like
pistol.
No, he had the
machine gun.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about the shooting mechanics is that you cannot change your reticle.
Oh, really?
So like.
And the thing he was saying was, like, the shooting was not good until he got further down the upgrade tree.
Yeah. Ultimately, like, every gun has a different reticle, and they're all different shapes and, like, weird shit. So, like, this shotgun that I have is just, like, a line.
It's a line?
It's a horizontal line, and it has, like, a gap in the middle, and that's where you want to aim. Like, that's the only thing I don't like about it. The gun has, like, a circle, but it's a big-ass circle. And wow. Like the machine gun that he's talking about is two brackets. I don't understand it. But
the brackets thing remind me from Division.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like a light machine gun. And it is kind of like a light machine gun.
That might be my only complaint is you can't change the reticle.
Yeah.
But other than that, the gameplay loop and the twist in the story and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Once you get further in.
But to be honest, I feel like that twist you could have seen a mile away.
Oh, wait, don't, no ruin.
Which one? Because they have multiple.
I know.
Okay, so.
Which one? Yes.
How far is he into it?
He's already beaten it.
Okay, so you watched
that. I watched it.
Okay, I probably don't know which twist you're talking about, but I like the moment of it.
Okay.
I'm still enjoying
it. The world is like dead, bro.
Of course they're dead.
And then, like, the way they give out missions is literally like you're in the camp, you go in there, and you're like, give me the next mission. They won't. Freakers. And then you step out of the camp for like,
hey, I got a mission for you.
2 feet out of the camp. Hey, I got a mission. We're going to come back. And you're like, bro, I was just saw you. Give me the mission.
I haven't had that trouble just because I still have so many missions backlog and I go do other things. Okay. Yeah. So I'll go upgrade his stamina and stuff, or I'll go explore, or I still got a bunch of hordes to do and stuff like that. I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, that's good, then.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I got one question. Mm. So, in the E3 demo showcase of the game,
mm-hmm. you talking about way back when?
Yeah. Where they had the gun, Deacon had like a machine gun. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he was shooting it like forever.
Yeah.
Is there like a perk where you can do something like that?
I mean, that is actually the gun. I mean, like, that's the gun, like, in game gun, and you do get tons of bullets for it.
The machine gun?
Yeah.
I think there might be an upgrade because they may have more than one machine gun. I just picked up somebody's that I killed.
Oh yeah,
and I just haven't put that shit down yet because I don't want to lose now. It because I haven't upgraded to be able to buy it now. So I just keep that thing on me.
Yeah. You can put it in the locker though.
Can you picked up guns in the locker?
Yeah, I think no, the ones you buy, you can pick them up.
Out yeah, no, no, no. Yeah. I just killed somebody with a machine gun. And just kept that shit like weeks ago. I still have this shit. Yeah.
But, all right. So, last up,
Last of Us 2.
No, the game's not out yet. Rage 2.
Yes.
Yay! You're close. It was made by the same development studio that did Mad Max, which came out back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It is published by Bethesda Software Works.
So Bethesda, Maryland.
And it's a first-person open-world adventure type game.
Right.
Takes place after the events of Rage 1. Did not play Rage 1, but didn't really need to play Rage 1 to enjoy this game. I know a little bit
about Rage 1.
The gameplay, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Bethesda's first-person catalog, except for the Fallout series, you know? So you have your Doom, you have your Wolfenstein, and the shooting gameplay mechanics is pretty tight. You know, like, it took a little bit of me getting used to. I actually had to manipulate the controls a little bit, but mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? Wait, hold up. I'm not DJ. I don't need to mess around with my controllers.
Hey.
So I just wanted to see if there's any type of discernible change. What
was the issues that you were running into?
At least in terms of the, it felt a little bit unresponsive. At times, in terms of, like, it still kind of is. Like, I had to get used to, I think the enemies were too fast for the speed of their directional axis, basically.
Nah, like,
the
GG, boy.
Like, they're very quick.
So you're having a hard time, like, actually just keeping up with them with your reticle.
I mean, like, yeah, and also, I think it's some of the color. I mean, this actually goes into, like, a gameplay conversation, too.
Yeah.
The presentation of the game, the enemies were advertised as, like, these bright characters, but it's, like, they're kind of meshing with the background a little bit, which isn't great.
Yeah, see, that was actually one of the issues with Rage 1, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, everything.
It's still, I mean, like the explosions are great. I mean, like it's visually good.
Yeah.
Like, it's visually good, but it took me a couple hours to get used to, like, not just enemy movement, but, you know, like, understand, all right, if they're going that direction, I had to, like, lead them. I had to, like, aim a little bit further in front of them to, like, you know, because, like, just how quick they are compared to the...
So you felt like
the
when you were
speed.
Shooting them, the bullets just wasn't actually hitting them?
No, I mean, like, it was hard to track them.
Okay.
It's difficult to, like, find a good way to explain but it's not like I'm not able to target them. It's just like
your reticle speed, your turning speed.
It's a little bit weird, you know, like the movement speed too. So like the reticle speed and the movement speed are kind of working against me.
I get you.
But I mean, like, it's a beautiful game, you know, like a whole bunch of systems and layers. You get to upgrade your individual guns, you get to upgrade your characters' perks, you get to upgrade your car. So all that's there for you. Right. If anyone's, I mean, I remember seeing other people track it and they were like, oh, you know, there's too many systems. Like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
This is appropriate. I feel if you want to
invest, it doesn't feel like overbearing or
if
anything.
You want to invest in your health, you can. You want to invest in the power of your grenades, you can. Like all that potential is there. So
I heard that there are like a lot of different currencies to
invest. Yeah, some of them I still don't know what I'm doing. I know that I mean like you're able to collect like these mutant spores you can trade in, which kind of like junk currency for you to trade in for money.
Right.
And then you have like your mutant coins, which are mostly cosmetics, but I don't care. You know, if I were to tell someone I had like this is a single player game, does anyone care what type of skin I have for my machine gun?
Yeah, so that was another weird thing too. Like, there's actual in-game store.
Yeah,
yeah,
because they got to make their money somehow.
Yeah,
yeah, but it don't make sense.
But yeah, that's an egregious type of microtransaction. We'll get to that conversation later. But other than that, yeah, the game's fun. You know, I mean, it was a 7 because I had to get used to the movement and stuff like that. After like, you know what, it's an 8.
Okay,
it's fine.
So how far are you into the game?
I'm at the part where many people have said this is where it gets boring.
Oh shit.
Like my this isn't my final rating for the game. Like it changed from 7 to an 8.
Right.
But you know, if this like if there's no like improvement or anything that really sticks out into their whole duration, it could go back down to a 7.5.
Yeah.
And they're saying like after like probably the 6 hour mark, it's like, okay, you've kinda done everything. But now do it 15 more times in each category. Have fun.
Nope.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay. That's and like it's not worth $60 right now. Get it when it's like cheaper later.
I get you. So one last thing about Rage. So as I said earlier, I know a little bit about Rage 1 because I
tested. He was given a test copy.
Yeah.
And he's an expert, I guess.
No. You were given a test copy? Go ahead.
What?
I see you were given a test copy.
He was a tester.
I was a tester.
For Rage. Oh.
Yeah. Not Rage 2.
Welcome to the conversation, Cam. So with Rage 1.
You're not balling that hard.
With Rage 1, there was a...
I haven't used a wing stick that much.
Really?
Like, almost at all. Because it's basically a grenade. Like, you just use it once and it's over.
It doesn't come back to you anymore?
No, it doesn't. You have a finite amount. So, yeah. Yeah, I have 5 as a maximum right now. They took that. Yeah, it doesn't come back to you. It just goes and it looks on the ground.
I'm sorry. Listener, you couldn't see my reaction, but I am rubbing my head to the point where my skin is coming off of my forehead.
Yeah, I remember that being very cool.
That was like one of the best things old gameplay. About Rage.
Like, it would come back. No, it does not come back. It just goes.
Wow.
Mm. You have a finite amount. It's basically a grenade.
Well, that's Rage 2.
were you about to talk about the wing stick?
No. Actually, the other thing I was going to ask about. So in Rage 1, there was a way of... It's like a movement skill kind of thing where
dashing.
If you run jump, you will jump like you're running, but you only have to do the run part right before the jump kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So basically, it was a way of moving a lot quicker through the game.
Well, they added a dash.
Okay,
which kind of like the dash is fine. Like you just like you need you. Put your
purse. It's like a Doom dash
kind of thing? Yeah. Doom 2, I believe, has a dash. Now, Doom 1 didn't have a dash.
Oh, really?
Like, Doom didn't have a dash to it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So, like, there's a dash you can invest in and have to cool down. You can dash every 2 seconds. So,
oh, okay.
That's all it is.
Cool. Well, that has been the games that we've played. We've been playing. Not playing right now because I wish I could be playing Dauntless right now. Anyways, now a word from our sponsor.
Sponsor.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
That's the worst thing about pets. And we are back.
Hey, look at you.
Wow, okay, that was...
Your stroke is trash.
So,
yeah.
Now for gaming news.
Mm. What?
Gaming news.
You mean quick hits?
Quick hits is part of gaming news.
All right, Michelle.
I'm about to give you all the quick hits. Number one, PlayStation 5 players can play with PlayStation 4 players using backwards compatibility.
That's now, my really question special. Is, if you were to play with them, would you have like a special mark near your name saying, you know, like a star or something? That'd be dope.
Like, for example, if I was playing Destiny on PlayStation 3 and you were playing Destiny, oh, you couldn't do that.
Nah.
That's not really special to me.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Number two, Sony shows off PlayStation 5 load times. Yeah, they're fast, guys.
Them joints are fire.
Yeah.
As fast as Sonic?
Nothing is as fast as Sonic.
As fast as they're redesigning his character?
Even faster than that.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's cool. Sony's next console is going to be fast. We don't know what that actually means because they base their test off of...
Spider-Man,
right. And Spider-Man is a first party
exclusive.
Good God. We're going to take a moment of silence for my inability to actually speak.
Can't read either, nigga.
Anyways, we don't know how PS5 is going to handle actual PS5 games.
Yeah.
So they can be fast with PS4 games, but we don't know about what's going to happen with PS5.
There. Oh, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, there's that. Okay.
Are you getting it day one?
Getting what, PS5?
Yeah.
I am.
Absolutely. Who would I be not to do that? I'm going to
give my extra PS4 to the needy.
All right, number three. Microsoft's Project xCloud rolls out with hits 13 regions, and Capcom and Paradox Entertainment Interactive has been testing on Project xCloud.
Have they been testing... What's that game that came out? It was supposed to be all about the cloud. Crackdown 3. They testing that too?
Yeah.
Yo, that game came out this year, right?
Yeah, no, it came out in February. I mean, in terms of the cloud, I don't think that. Yeah, like they totally invested heavily into all of Crackdown. Only the multiplayer side of it used the cloud.
Yeah, that was supposed to be
not the single player. So
yeah, but. Okay, so the real saving grace to Project xCloud is the fact that, as I said, Capcom and Paradox Interactive, they're testing their games on this service, and what Project xCloud allows you to do is essentially push out your game, and it will work on all the platforms.
Okay.
Right.
Mm.
Which is really cool. So more power to them. Another Microsoft hit. Microsoft announces Xbox content moderation to cut back on toxic comments.
How will I know who slept with my mother last night?
That's true. That's true. Why are they doing this, Microsoft?
These kids nowadays are some wimps. They couldn't live a day in modern.
You know
how
times I've been called playing Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Boy.
Well, you know, they're just trying to be... I mean, like, clearly there was a demand for it.
Yeah, so I think the reason why this is happening is to...
I'm fine with that.
Is to be ready for their next generation, because the next generation is going to be more streaming, blah blah blah. So they're going to have to deal with this stuff more.
Internet connectivity.
I want you to be able to opt in to verbal abuse on Xbox Live. Hey,
call me those dirty words.
Check.
And last but not least, as Sean said, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie got pushed back due to a character redesign. And Dr. Robotnik.
Here's the thing.
Sonic is perfect.
They were intentionally designing him that way to separate themselves from the game, but people didn't realize that if it did bad, then it didn't tarnish Sonic as a whole.
Right.
If it did good, then they took the...
But the thing is, like, the issue is...
Credit
like,
for that.
Sonic's issues have never been his design. It's been his games. Like,
I'm talking about the movie.
Oh.
As far as the movie. Yeah. They're redesigning the character model for the movie.
Like what Sean's saying, that the original idea was to separate what we know as Sonic from the Sonic movie in case something happens to the Sonic movie
and it was trash,
but what
it doesn't tarnish the brand.
What they forgot is that Sonic as an IP hasn't been great, so it doesn't matter what happens with the movie. At least the most you could do, or the least you could do, is just make the Sonic look like the Sonic that we know.
Yeah. He's still a love character regardless of his games, which I've been saying for a while. Sonic Team needs to hand development to Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally or agree. Like randos, because the last was it?
Did Sonic you say randos, like random people?
Yeah, like because what was it? Sonic Mania. Hey, you
little kid, here's Sonic.
No, it was like Sonic Mania, who did the last game that did involve like sprites and original design was based off of like a fan just putting together stuff,
right?
And
he was a random fan, though.
I mean, I know he wasn't
like a super fan, but
and that rando. Is it for the quick hits. Now it's time for the heavy hitters. Story number one.
Hush over there.
Is that your okay? Wild okay. Thing. Oh, we got a little sing along and dance over here. Number one, industry worldwide digital games market. So these are numbers for April of 2019 this year. So we have a list of top grossing titles by category, and the categories are PC, consoles, and mobile. We will not talk about mobile because I don't think any one of us cares about that.
Nope.
We won't talk about PC either because I don't think anyone else cares about that.
PC Master Race.
So console, we'll start at number 10. Number 10 is The Division 2.
Yay.
They are on hit. I'm not surprised. This is April. They've been doing well with their content stream, so cool. Number 9, Smash Brothers Ultimate. I'm actually surprised that this is on the list.
Because really? Joker just came out and we're in the middle of the tournament.
That's a good point.
I've been watching nothing but fighting game community tournaments.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense. Joker just came out. Joker's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. One of the top players in Smash was using Joker. He came in second place, but
guess he's not a top player in Smash, huh?
Yeah, he's one of the world's best, but he literally picked up Joker and probably like in the 2 weeks that he came out,
and
pretty much almost beat the whole tournament.
Wow. Well, I could see that happening because people probably aren't just adept at fighting against Joker yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Number 8, NBA 2K19.
What?
Cool. Number 7, Devil May Cry 5.
Oh, 2K because of NBA postseason is starting to heat up, and that's when their sales spike during this.
Oh, like March Madness kind of thing?
No. I mean, like in NBA, the finals are going on.
Oh, okay. I know nothing about that. I'll take your word for it. Number 7, Devil May Cry 5. It's on here. It's doing it. More power to you. I'm sure Marcus will be able to say more than what I'm saying, but he's not here. Number 6, Days Gone.
Hey,
Days Gone is on the list.
It's a good game.
No, I know that, but I'm shocked because I feel like going into the release.
This is y'all anthem. I realize it.
But like going into the release, like everyone was pretty down on the game. Mm-hmm. So to see that it's number 6 is actually pretty good. Number 5, FIFA 19. No surprise. Number 4, MLB The Show 19.
Hey, Doug.
That's for you, fine. Doug. Number 3, Sekiro. Shadows Die Twice. That is number 3.
You're the only one that's you and me and everyone at this podcast are only people not playing it.
Right. That's true.
I'm going to get it eventually.
Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite.
Of course.
How is this game still a thing?
Hey, it's going to be like GTA. It's going to be like GTA.
GTA isn't on this list, though.
It's not. Actually, it's not on this. This is from Superdata. This is interesting. Anyways, number 1.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11.
I know it. So let me tell you, this game, I watch people play this game religiously. Sonic Fox, of course, is looking like the god.
Yeah.
I played it.
This man plays he mains 2 characters specifically, but he can switch between 3 characters.
Mm-hmm.
He's killing. And he just makes it look so effortless.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's a great game, great story, but like it's probably the best fighting game out
for a while.
Probably since Dragon Ball FighterZ in terms of the way, like...
You mean most popular?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, most popular. And I would say just best overall mechanics. And this is just, I mean, of course, me just watching it, but... I can say definitively.
I will pick it up when they bring out the deluxe version of I Didn't Burn Again.
Yeah.
So they can get all the characters.
Everything
just looks beautiful about that game. Like, and we're getting ready to come up on the next big, I think, Combo Breaker, which is the next big fighting championship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
People also still fighting with Dragon Ball FighterZ, by the way. Ooh. They added Kid Goku.
Yeah, I didn't know about the whole Kid Goku thing.
And Jiren's cool in there, too.
Are there like 7 types of Goku characters now?
Yeah, there's base Goku.
Actually, there's 5, thank you very much.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm joking.
No,
I don't fucking know.
And there's base Vegeta in there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, next up, Sony's deal with Microsoft.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sony is going to be leveraging Microsoft's cloud technologies.
Let me fully introduce this, because this is actually pretty hilarious. Sony's deal with Microsoft blindsided its own PlayStation team.
The team doesn't have to worry about that. I mean, like, clearly it was a move made at the higher echelon of Sony
and yeah.
both Microsoft, to which Sony just didn't have the bandwidth to create their own cloud-based system. They tried to with the PlayStation Now, and which was off of a purchase off of Gaikai.
Gaikai, yeah.
And that didn't work well in terms of the connectivity.
So with the Gaikai purchase,
yes,
I think what happened was it worked, but it worked in the context of this is your PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 games kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they could have built on that more. No.
Well, yeah.
And I think like that's why they didn't promote PlayStation Now as much as they, as much as people wanted them to. Because PlayStation Now is pretty successful.
Right. Well, I mean, like, sorry. Well, yeah, you say built on, but clearly they didn't want to invest as much as would have been required to take it to the next level
of
efficiency that they require, they would need for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
For what Stadia is promising us, that level of gaming.
So, Microsoft has been investing in cloud technologies for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they have the technical expertise to know how to properly, I mean, you know, of course, there's always been gripes with Microsoft systems and various levels, but Sony and that type of computer hardware hasn't been high in terms of quality, like that type of conversation.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. I mean, like, this PlayStation is still a great and well-performing console, but this was a well-received move by not just PlayStation staff, but the like people, shareholders, and like they were like, this is going to set them up in a better position, because you don't want to neglect this. Like you don't want to like dig your hands into the ground and hoping that, you know, you're not getting knocked over by the cloud train that's coming down. Yeah, like, you want to move with the waves.
As I said before, like when all these things were hitting, I kept saying, I don't know about Sony. Like, I am actually scared for Sony in the next generation, because they don't have nothing to compete against.
And like, yes, they
have games, but they don't have the services. Like, PlayStation Now is garbage.
Right.
It's garbage. Mm. And it's just like, what are you guys going to do?
And like, when we say, oh, Sony and Xbox are arch rivals, like, no, they're competitors, but, you know, so like there hasn't been an antagonistic feel when it comes to collaboration. You know, I mean, of course, Sony was apprehensive when it came to crossplay, but that was on like the Sony team side. Mm-hmm. When it comes to like that level of like when the two CEOs are conversating with one another, that's when it's like it's become more of a strategic partnership. But at the end of the article, they were quoting possible antitrust law conversations when you have two companies of this magnitude working together.
Yeah,
I mean, like it's kind of like Sony's just leveraging a cloud system.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like, I don't know.
They're
like,
trying to keep the price of games at it's not like they're price fixing.
Yeah, like they're not. But like, yeah, like it's not at that phase yet.
Yeah.
It's
Plus, not. If anything, we have Nintendo, so we have nothing to worry about, guys.
Hey, Nintendo hopped on that Microsoft train. Nintendo's like, yo, red and green, let's go.
When I saw the news, I was like, dang. So like, Microsoft got two girlfriends now. Because we know PlayStation, Nintendo not talking to each other.
No.
Oh, jeez. All right, so next up, Cam.
Yes.
So I heard that there's news about microtransactions.
Yeah, so a freshman senator, Josh Haley.
Is he not your best friend?
Not at all.
No.
Well, he's a Republican senator, so he introduced a piece of legislation to try to curtail.
But how does he feel on abortion?
I'm pretty sure he feels like most Republicans. Right. To curtail the use of loot boxes, particularly towards children.
Yeah.
And so there's an interview with him and Jason Schreier within
Kotaku.
I hate that site. Not because of the content, but because I can't say the name. And there's an interview where Jason pretty much walks him through. He asks him to say, like, well, are you doing this because you're a gamer? The obvious answer is no. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, well, why do you do this? He says, well, I'm doing it particularly for my children. And he said, well, do your children play games? And he was like, no, they do not yet. He said, because they're 6 and 4. So he's like, well, what are you ultimately trying to get at here? Well, he's like, I'm also trying to get to both loot boxes and pay to win. And the reason is how they impact children's development. Mm-hmm. And so on the surface, this kind of seems like, well, you know, that doesn't seem so bad. And I like, what's your intent behind this? But there's another article that that Gizmo did, where Gizmo talks about the actual legislation and how they define a loot boxes. And so he says loot boxes within the context of this legislation is defined as transactions that involve randomized rewards. It's widely viewed as exploitative and of the worst kind of practices adopted by game makers in recent years. And so within that, it's designed to address the addiction economy, particularly with casinos. And so is a wide ranging, is there's a little bit, there's less nuance to it. Mm-hmm. And so the concern here is kind of like everything else is going to do more harm than good.
Right.
It's, I know that,
too broad kind of thing.
Yeah. And yeah. I know in particular he referenced FIFA. What else did he reference? Yeah, I think mainly FIFA. And so what I'm looking at is, so the bill has like the support of like, I think two other Democratic senators. So mm-hmm. there's some traction there, but I'm looking to see what EA and like other big companies like Warner Brothers or Blizzard.
Yeah, okay.
Due to
Blizzard, Activision Blizzard.
I mean, yeah, Activision
Blizzard. Every game has, I mean, majority of games right now have microtransactions.
And, yeah.
I mean, at least in terms of that caliber of microtransactions.
The big one. The big one.
But the reason why I'm more interested in EA because he specifically called out FIFA in his mm-hmm. interview. And then FIFA or these games have been particularly like monetized. Like yeah. there's been so many when you think of
he's
like
not
the
wrong.
Egregious level of like microtransactions and you read the articles, they always point to either FIFA or Madden mm-hmm. or something that EA is putting together.
This complements a story that we did many months ago when in Prague. Like the EU yeah, were approaching
yeah. I'll just
the
microtransaction
conversation. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, FIFA is the main target because it's soccer. Sorry, football, the international
and a
sport.
A lot of people steal people's credit cards and shit to buy, like,
yeah.
FIFA points to
mm-hmm.
buy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and well, they're probably able to make a return on that because they're able to actually, like, sell the profile with X, you know, commodity on mm-hmm. it. Oh, they unlock right. Messi. Like one of the most legendary, you know, football players on the planet, like
Pele,
like,
huh?
Like yeah, or yeah. like who, or whoever, you know what I mean? Like those high level cards are able to like make a return. Like, oh, this profile has this person in it. You know, you can't like, and the percentage drop on that person is like 0.015 or something like that.
What
like
the hell happened percentage. To just playing to unlock shit?
No, games. You can't make money off of that. So you're talking about.
Here's the other side to it, right? Yeah. We've hit a point where we as consumers want games to have a certain amount of fidelity, have a certain amount of features, a level of interactivity. Here yeah. Now, yeah. I mean, I feel
you
like
you already know I'm not rocking with you.
So here's okay, yeah, yeah. So we're at the point where $60 does not cut it for
you know what? A game actually, wait, hold up, pause. Oh. You know what? I just heard Boo. Last week the counter. To that
okay
that Thank actually you. Expands outside of video games
okay
it's no longer we're no longer an economic system that focuses on quality but we have these companies that are formatted to focus on shareholders not the consumers
yep
to which
I agree with that yeah
if they improve the quality of the game and get people to buy it more like seriously like that I mean as simple as that sounds yeah. that's what it is like we're no longer on the value based system
so I guess and, like,
and,
like wait
and to here's
wait wait wait, wait 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 my question to that is what does improve how do you improve the quality on something without making it cost more
no,
seriously but like if you think about it if it comes down to
let me tell you why.
Improve the quality by having more man hours put into game. How do you pay for the man hours? Like, what happens there? Where does that money come from?
So, but let me, here's another reason why I think that argument also may not work. Partly one, because we think of like what it takes to actually make these games versus what it took to make those games 10, 15 years ago. It's,
different.
It's the, like technology is in theory cheaper. Second,
it's supposed to make your job easier.
Second, you look at games like Take-Two Interactive that made GTA one of the highest selling games ever. Right,
yeah.
Billions and billions of dollars, and you think about the what you talk about. We've done these articles about crunch. We talked about how these abusive practices. So, in theory, if you're making hand over fist, tons of money, billions and billions of dollars, mm-hmm. and you still can't figure out a way to properly manage your employees.
The system should just take hold and you should be priced out.
Let me ask you a question. This is outside. This is outside of video games.
Yeah.
Name one company that you've been a part of where mm-hmm. you're like, shit, everything's working perfectly in here.
I don't know.
I've been a part of none.
Exactly. Yeah.
The thing is, they are making more money. Like EA, all these companies are making more money than they would have ever dreamed of making at this point in our lifetime, right? And they are doing this because when they talk to their shareholders, they're saying, we're expecting to make X billion dollars a year.
Right.
And we're expecting to do this based solely off of microtransaction. So it literally has nothing to do with, we're doing this because we want to invest in other IPs. We're going to do this because we want to make the player experience better. No, they're literally saying, we can make more money than this.
They're going to cause a video game crash.
But, I mean, yeah, we're pretty much we're at the point where we're going to hit
a plateau, and
there's only so much money you can make.
It's not even about money though. It's about, you have to balance making money with customer expectation. Let me give an example. Mm-hmm. Yes, you expect the game to work.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
The thing is, you cannot test. You absolutely cannot test your servers for a million people jumping on your server at one time. You absolutely cannot test that. If you want to test that, you got to drop shit ton of money.
That is facts. I agree with you. But then here's where we differ. So you look at, going back to EA, we look at Anthem, right? You know that you have a broken software or a broken whatever it is that DICE uses.
The game engine, yes.
Yeah, you have a broken game engine. Have more than enough money to invest in a game engine that could actually...
A newer game engine.
Yeah.
You have more than enough money.
Here's the thing.
So then, not only... Yes, I get it. You can't test for a million servers, but if you know you have something that's fundamentally broken, and you're putting it out there for people to still buy, that's...
No.
But that has nothing to do with whether it's $60 or not.
Here's the thing about the whole Frostbite engine thing. The funny part is EA was trying to save money. The whole reason why they want everything on Frostbite is because they didn't want to give
the licensing fee to Unreal. Yeah.
So like that's why they did the whole like Frostbite
thing. Trying to be cheap.
It was a terrible move on their part. They shouldn't have done it, and they are reeling from it right now.
So but then try to over monetize players.
That's what
over monetize. What do you mean by over monetize?
I mean like when I say over monetize, what I mean is you have a poor infrastructure, but then you're trying to like always pull a dollar from the player. Like you're
trying. That's what Activision is doing, and they're killing Call of Duty with that as well. There are, I believe, 3 or 4 different premium currencies you can buy in Call of Duty.
Oh, really?
At this moment, yeah. You can buy the Battle Pass. You can buy the Season Pass. You can still buy a microtransaction BS.
Right. So I think with all this said, it's going to come down to, you see this game, you see the inner workings of this game.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the game is monetized. Do you yourself decide to play the game?
Mm-hmm.
And how much do you invest in that game? So my thing is, when it comes to, okay, so for
and
example,
the thing is like we're looking.
Wait, finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Say you get a game like, we'll say God of War, right?
Okay.
Say you get God of War.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff, it costs $60.
Mm-hmm.
You get the game day one, $60. You get no updates, no nothing. That's the game, right? That model works fine for that game because that is a single player game. You're not expected to be playing with other people. You don't really. Unless the game is broken, you don't really need updates or whatever. And like whatever updates it can have, that could be actual downloadable content that goes down the line.
When you say, well, how are you defining updates? Are you defining like...
I'm talking about patches.
Like fixes.
No new content, just patches. Like fixes. Yes.
So I won't get any fixes.
No, you will get fixes. You'll get fixes because that's what they owe you for the game.
Okay.
Now, say you play a game like Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite is a game that you play that is multiplayer.
Yeah.
So that game cannot subsist on its own without a server running, without people managing that server, without people doing all that stuff on the back end, right?
Mm-hmm.
One $60 purchase of that game will not cover those costs. So the question is, for Fortnite, a game that you have never played before, you never heard about before, if that game cost $120, are you going to fuck with it?
No.
We already talked about how games aren't being reflected in the current prices. Like the game industry is Like, exactly. The last time they were $50 was two concert durations ago.
Exactly.
That's, it should that's, be way more.
That's than the 60 only right point. Now. That's the only point but that I'm making that there's no counter to it yet.
But here's the issues. I think often there's two things.
Increase the
when
price.
We have these microtransaction right. conversations, we often think about it from the perspective of us. Like, yeah, like I have self control, or I would never do this. But they're not going for people like me.
Absolutely
they're
not.
They're going
no.
for people who have no impulse control. They're going
they call
for
people them
who
whales.
Have, the whales, yeah.
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 So there's one.
We learned a whole lot
about the other part is there are games that, yeah. that are advertised, like, for example, Shadows of War was advertised as a complete game, but mm-hmm. then within the game, a single player experience mm-hmm. where they throttle content to force you to buy it. Mm-hmm. Like so, no,
yeah, though, like, that's a problem. That's absolutely so. A problem.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but, or you're taking free, to, like you're taking mobile game concepts and trying to apply it to a game that I've already paid for.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you don't like. But I don't see how you
the
don't.
Ish, the problem is,
and that has nothing to do with where we're trying to maintain service.
You can't
or not.
Look at that at a, in a, in a general sense, though. You have to look at it game by game.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, we're not talking about the issue of server. We're not talking about the issue of we need to get better quality of games. We're talking about something that's. You advertised a game to me. You said, I'm giving you this content for this game.
Right.
You pay for it, you're going to get it.
Right.
Then when I play your game, you throttle or you wall off content from me that you told me I've already paid for. Unless I grind ridiculously or pay for a shortcut that I shouldn't have to pay for because the game should automatically be there.
You
like Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I never.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 was literally this principle.
Okay, so you are absolutely right.
And I think that is 90% of people's issue with microtransactions.
You are absolutely right if the marketing says, hey, you are getting XYZ in this game.
That's not going to happen.
And then you play the game and X, Y is in the game, but Z is behind a paywall.
That is how it is.
That's how Battlefront was.
That is literally what Battlefront 2 is.
I didn't support Battlefront because I didn't like what
and
they
honestly,
were doing.
The only reason why Battlefront 2 was fixed was because
why did you buy Battlefront then?
I didn't buy it.
Okay, then. Good. You did what you're supposed to do.
But no, I bought it because I like Star Wars.
Why did you buy Battlefront?
I was punished for it. I was punished for it.
There you go. Advertising the gamers like me. They're advertising the Jordans, and I mean not to say that Jordan. I'm not saying no. They advertise Jordan likes Star Wars.
Yeah.
So there's a Star Wars movie coming out. There's Jordan who likes Star Wars.
I'm gonna play Battlefront, dude.
I actually want to play it, but now I don't want to play it because I'm like, well, what is it like now?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's better now, but after
I
two
think,
years,
I think the point is we can all agree.
Versus we got ganked on Anthem.
That's different though. I think we can all agree.
And I paid full.
I think we can all agree that you just download Dauntless because it is free and then you can give them money if you want. But the game is free. So what is next on the docket of
you know how microtransactions do, man. Give me
Shonda. Okay, so they're trying to tickle people on their nostalgia.
Oh.
This year's Call of Duty is called Call of Duty. Modern Warfare.
Not to be confused.
Shit.
With Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Oh, there's two of them.
Sorry, Call
or
of Duty 4.
To be confused with Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
Call of Duty 4 dear. Modern Warfare came out in 2007, and the remaster that came out when Infinite Warfare came out.
Trash.
And now you just have a soft reboot is what he called it, right?
Modern Warfare. And it's not official. There have been some heavy leaks that it's going to be called that.
Yeah, it's going to be called that.
It's all been confirmed, though, by different
damn near.
Outlets.
And apparently, they let some NFL players play the game in March. So,
I'm guessing
it's damn near ready. I'm wondering how long they've been playing it.
Yeah.
And wait, who's the developer? Is it Sledgehammer?
It's
No, it's not Infinity War. It can't be.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, it's Infinity War? It's not Sledgehammer?
It's their turn.
It is.
So, wait, so...
Because there may not be anybody else but Infinity War working on Modern Warfare.
I know Infinity War went to Respawn, but that wasn't the whole
team.
It's not
the original.
Yeah, okay, it's not the original. It's
the two like directors of the original Infinity War went to make Respawn.
Okay,
but yeah.
So these NFL players are calling the game lit, but they're casual players. So
they're too busy like living their best lives.
That's me assuming.
Like, they're not playing video games.
That's
man.
Me assuming that they're casual
they
players,
care.
But they're not gonna know the nuance of the
they're
game.
They're having absolutely so not. Much fun not but playing video games.
Here's the thing,
they're
though.
Actually in the game.
I will say though,
my face with that.
At the same time, you also have to realize that yes, they might not be playing as much games as we are, but they are consistently playing that one game. So they do understand. It's just like people who play Madden. Mm-hmm. They might only play Madden, but they know fucking Madden.
Yeah. I guess.
So it's just like
They're not my go-tos.
By them calling it lit, like,
I mean, I'm fine with them saying lit, but whatever. It's like, I'm not gonna go to them for my video game.
Yeah,
they're content. All saying it's fire, and I'm just like,
yeah, I'm not gonna. Like, they're not.
They say that every year with the new Call of Duty.
True, yeah, especially if like they've been.
They're playing it for free. They're playing it March. What was that? 6 months early, almost.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I enjoy Call of Duty, but I'm not gonna. I mean, like
really early.
Like the Call of Duty fandom is slowly becoming the LCD of video gaming. They're like the lowest common denominator. I'm not trying to like as a swipe to Call of Duty, but like Call of Duty is kind of like its own staple.
Well, I mean, we'll get a new
Eminem. A lot of people like, which is fine.
We'll get a new Eminem single out of this, at least.
Oh, really? Eminem's a big game, make a song for me.
He comes out with a single for the past couple Call of Duties.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I will get it. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
Yeah, no, I'm.
Was the reason I mean, like, I got an Xbox.
I get all the Call of Duties for research, to be honest. I got
for research. I'm absolutely fucking getting this game. Love Modern Warfare. The original one was dope. This is Infinity.
No, yeah, I can't wait
to get a divorce.
This nigga's marriage is on the rocks, my dude. Well, so I mean, like, I can't take it no more.
I mean, like, I wonder how they present it. Because, like, you have Modern Warfare. You expect for it to be in this Modern Warfare universe, which kind of ended pretty conclusively at the Modern Warfare 3. They kind of took, I mean, like, yeah, Captain Price is still alive. They need to
stop fucking around with this whole story shit. It doesn't need a goddamn story.
Yes, it does. What does it need?
Yes,
I love my stories.
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare was dope for the story, but it succeeded because of the multiplayer.
A majority of players play the story first and then go on to multiplayer. That's what I do.
But hey, how'd you end that sentence? How'd you end that sentence? They go on to multiplayer.
Yeah,
they
after, play playing, multiplayer after playing the story.
People felt like they how weren't many getting
times,
their money's worth.
How many times has a shooter come out that didn't have a story? People were like, where's the story? Same thing happened with Battlefront. People got mad. Like, the gameplay was still the same, but people were like, yo, where's my story?
Yeah,
same thing with
look at Black Ops 4.
There was still controversy, though, when they announced there wasn't.
It didn't matter. It still succeeded.
It succeeded off the Black Ops name, and even then,
yeah,
I don't know.
But my thing is, as I see it right now, I am absolutely getting this game.
Yeah, I want to get it.
If there is story, great. If there's no story, I don't care.
So wait, you're telling me you're gonna play this game with like you're gonna buy a full $60 with just had multiplayer?
I bought Black Ops. It had just had multiplayer.
How much did you play it?
I cut it off
because for me, when it comes to the studios, I generally don't like Treyarch games.
Yeah, Treyarch's not the best
Some people feel like they made the best ones.
Well, some people are wrong.
Black Ops 2 is fire.
I mean, like, it's not like
Black Ops 2 is fire if you take it outside of the whole Call of Duty realm. Every time you have an Infinity War game paired with a Treyarch game, the Treyarch game is not great.
Yeah.
As comparison
between like Treyarch does do good shooting games if he had all the shooting games out on the market. When you compare it with their direct counterfactual Infinity War within that studio Activision, they just can't really hack it in terms of quality. Yeah. Like, oh, this is gonna be Infinity War year and oh, this is gonna be Treyarch year.
Well, they're gonna do an official reveal. Let me see,
May 30th. Before E3, gameplay during.
So by the time you guys hear this, it should have been announced.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, you know, I'm excited to see exactly how they positioned this to actually not have it look. Or you know what? They might do that. They might be like, "Hey, this is Modern Warfare, guys. You remember that one? It's back." And that's it. That's just what they're going with.
Their marketing is going to be just buy the goddamn game.
You know what it is.
You know what time it is, girl.
And as we tell. Fuck, I don't know. Fuck. You know what time it is. This has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed Yellow.
Run that subscribe button, nigga.
Do it. Actually, is that considered a microtransaction? No, because it's free, right?
No.
So, don't forget to subscribe, and also don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps. Every little bit helps. If you miss any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Until next time, where I'll be talking more about Dauntless.
It's a nice subscribe button you got there. It'd be a shame if somebody pushed it for you.
Mm. Do it.